Hey there, you've tuned into Thrive's Podcast, a student ministry part of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. You can check us out every Saturday night at 6, or if you missed everything I just said, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Thrive at Victory.
And I want to talk to you about the vision that God has called us to go as a ministry. And vision could be looked at like this, the direction that we're going to be heading in the months and years to come. And I will say this, I'll get a little bit into more detail later, but this vision is going to require change. And I think sometimes when we think about change, a lot of us kind of resist change, but the reality is you change your clothes, you change your haircut, right? You get a new haircut, you change schools. So there's change that happens every single day of our lives. And what I really want you guys to understand is the reason why we're changing is because it's necessary. It's not because we want to change, but it's necessary in order for God to really show up and do what he has called us to do as a ministry. But last week, I was at the ATL. How many of you guys know what the ATL is? If you don't know what the ATL is, educate yourself. It's Atlanta. I was down in Atlanta hanging out, relaxing all cool. I was just chilling down there. No, I was actually down there for work. And we had a morning to kill, so we went to the Coca-Cola factory, and I'm not much of a Coke guy, I'm not much of a soda guy, I'm not much of a soda pop kind of guy, I don't know what you prefer, but I'm not much of a soda pop kind of guy, but we went to the Coca-Cola museum, and I was not inspired at all, and I don't know if that's their goal, is to inspire you, or is it just to educate. It did neither for me, but I remember I left the Coca-Cola museum, and everybody was still in there. They're doing their thing, and across the catty corner to the museum, it was the Martin Luther King Museum. And I don't know if you guys know me, but Martin Luther King is one of my role models. And reason why he is a role model of mine is because he inspired change. He had a vision, he had a direction, and he had a cause. And if you guys don't know what that cause was, man, racism is still alive. But his goal was this. Get this. His goal was this. This is what he said. This is one of my visions. He says, I have a dream or a vision that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin. And you guys know that racism is still here today. But Martin Luther King, he had this vision. He says, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. Even if we can't abolish it, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to put my foot in the ground. I'm going to put a stake in the ground. I'm going to say, you know what? Racism is wrong, and we're going to make change. And people got around Martin Luther King. They got around this vision. And this is what he says. I have a dream that my kids will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the context of their character. And I wish I can spend a whole message talking to you about Martin Luther King and racism. And I think here down the road, we're going to be specifically talking about that because it's an issue as believers that we have to stand up. And I think some of us aren't equipped and don't know how to answer some of these questions. But man, when I see some of my guys that I roll with and some of the guys that I mentor, and they get the look, they get the short stick, that breaks my heart. Because it's our job as believers to say, you know what? You're not going to treat him like that. I know exactly your mentality. I know your perception of him because he's black. But we're not going to accept that as a church. We're not going to accept that as a ministry. We're going to put our foot in the ground. We're going to say, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to be talking about that hopefully in the months to come. But tonight, I want to talk to you about that vision that Martin Luther King had. He had a vision, he had a dream, and he had a goal. And when I was sitting outside of that museum, I was just relaxing and I was just sitting, and I started to dream a little bit. I started to think about this ministry. I started to think about you and the dreams that God has placed in your heart. Dreams, not small dreams, but big dreams to change your schools, to change your regions, to change your circle of influence. I thought about you. I thought about me and my wife, about the dreams and the vision that God has for our lives. And you know what? I also thought about this ministry. This ministry, we have a vision and dream to continue to move forward, to continue to see people come to know Jesus. And there was this passage in Proverbs, and this man, his name was Solomon. And the thing about Solomon, let me give you some context. The thing about Solomon was that he was the wisest man who ever lived. And people from all afar, kings and queens, they would come to them and they would say, hey, listen, I need some advice. I need some clarity. I need some direction on how to govern my nation. And it's not like you could just hop on your private jet and fly over there in like 0.5 hours. Like it took them days and months and weeks to get there. And the thing is, they sat down with Solomon and they said, hey, listen, my nation is suffering. I need some guidance. I need some help. I need you to give me some clarity. So Solomon, he sat down with them. And this is something that he said that I think applies to our lives and to our ministry. He says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, he says, where there is no vision or chazon, that means a God-sized vision, the people wonder. Where there is no God-sized vision, people wander astray. And here's an indicator if you have a God-sized vision. And it's this. Can you do what God has called you to do on your own? The answer is no. If God has placed a vision and dream inside of your heart, it's going to require his supernatural strength and ability to do what he has called you to do. I think about Mitchell Gore right here. Mitchell Gore came to me. I'm going to be talking about where we're going and the people that we're going to be reaching. But I said, Mitch, I really believe that this place is going to be packed. We're going to see over 300 students saved in a small group and attending on a weekend. And Mitch looked at me and he said, Zach, that's a small vision. I think we can do that on our own. And he says, I think we need to shoot for 500. Another thing that I love about this man is that he has a vision to reach his school. Mitch came to me and says, hey, listen, I want to reach my school. I want to impact my school. I want to take the gospel to their turf. And this semester coming up in the fall, Mitchell's going to be starting a high school campus experience in which we're going to be rolling out in many schools. But that's what a God-sized vision looks like. If you can do it on your own, it's not a God-sized vision. And the reality is, your vision will be an indicator of how you view God. Let me explain. If your vision for life is just to go through the motions, you know how you're going to view God? Very small. You're going to think that he can't show up, do the impossible. But when your vision's this, man, we want to reach this region with the love of God through you guys. We want to see over 300 of you guys coming every single weekend. We want to see 300 salvations this year. We want to see 300 of you guys in a small group. Man, that's a God-sized vision because right now we're at 120 people. And it's not about numbers, guys. It's about reaching people because God died for people. And when I think about this section over here, it's probably an eyesore for you guys. But when I think about this section over here, I think about the people that aren't here. I think about that person that sits at your lunch table that is just dying to know the truth, that is looking for an answer, but we're too timid to speak up. I think about that person that you work with 3 times a week at Chick-fil-A. I thought everybody had to be born again to work at Chick-fil-A. Apparently not. Now I have to pray for my food. I thought it was already blessed, but it's not. But that person that works at Chick-fil-A, that doesn't know Jesus, or your friend that you grew up with, or your mom or your dad, or the people at your lunch table, or the people in your class. I think about the names. And I remember just sitting in your seat, and it just motivated me to think about what God has called me to do. And I thought to myself, I'm not qualified. I don't know the answers. I'm not educated in the Bible. But I was in your seat and something compelled me to say, I need to reach my friends for Jesus. I need to bring JoJo. I need to bring Phil. I need to bring Spencer. I need to bring Nate. I need to bring Beans. I need to bring Skylar. I need to bring Chad. I need to bring Raw. I had so many people that I wanted to reach. And the thing is, man, I needed the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to live and breathe inside of me. And once I knew the understanding that God had a vision bigger than myself, I knew that I needed his grace. I knew that I needed his gift and his goodness. But that's what a God-sized vision looks like. And I know that God is calling you, every single one of you, to a God-sized vision. But a lot of you guys don't believe that. A lot of you guys just believe that you're a teenager going to school. A lot of you guys just believe that, man, I just go to work. What if we change the way we thought and say, you know what, when I go to school, that's my mission field. Instead of going to Africa, instead of going to Honduras, instead of going down to Mexico, I'm going to go into my school, and that's my mission field. And instead of going to work, this was my mentality for a long time. I'm just going to work. Guess what? Now I said, this is my ministry. These tenets that I have that are kind of crazy, to say the least, man, it's an opportunity to me to say, hey, listen, man, you've been sick for 3 years. You haven't been out of your house. Can I pray for you? Can we believe God that he's going to heal you? He's going to touch you? See, God wants to do something special in your life. He wants to give you a shazon, a God-sized vision. And your God-sized vision should scare you. It should keep you up at night because you need him. I think about Moses when he was in the temple with the Egyptians. He was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. That is a foreshadow of us. We are Moseses. We have to lead our people out of bondage into freedom. But Moses, man, he was one person, and God put something on his heart, and he tried to do it on his own, but he fell on his face and said, no, I can't do this on my own. So he spent 40 years in the backside of the desert saying, I need help. I don't know what I do. I'm a shepherd, and I need you guys to pay attention. Like, when we come to Thrive, I got 20 minutes with y'all. I need you guys to pay attention. But he was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. And he's like, God finally put it on his heart again. I want you to rescue the Israelites. And he took 2.5 million people. Imagine that. Imagine you taking 2.5 million people in one direction. It's probably hard to get five of your friends to go in one direction. But that's the thing about the grace and the supernatural ability of God. I think about David, how God tapped on his shoulder at age 14. He says, hey, listen, I want you to be a king of Israel. And guess what he did after he was called by God to be the king of Israel at that age? He spent the next 20 years being a shepherd, developing character, developing what God was calling him to do. And then finally God says, you know what? I'm calling you to be a king in Israel. I think about Peter. How he was a Jew, and he didn't want to talk to the Gentiles, but God had to do something in his heart. He had to give him a God-sized vision to reach more than just the Jewish people and go to the Gentiles. I think about Gideon. Gideon was a man who was the weakest in his tribe of the weakest tribes. Think about that. He was the weakest in his tribe, which was the weakest tribe. And God showed up in his basement, and he said, hey, listen, Gideon, you're viewing yourself according to how you think about yourself. I'm viewing you how I think about you. And he tapped him on the shoulder and he says, I want you to fight against the Midianites. If you guys get nothing else tonight, I want you to get this. We serve a supernatural God that wants to do supernatural things in and through this ministry. And if you don't believe that right now, that's okay. Over time, you will see God show up in a real way. But I want to talk to you guys for a couple more minutes, and then my wife's going to come up. We're going to do some question and answering. But I want to talk to you about the change that is happening. And these aren't just like, hey, we're just changing the service flow. Like, we're going to do a message up front and worship in the back. Like, we're doing some big changes, because here's what I know. 6 out of 10 of you guys will walk away from God after high school. 60% of you will walk away from God after high school. And that keeps me up at night. That keeps me up at night because I think about you and I think about the things that God has in plan for you and how Satan wants to come in and he wants to just devour you. He wants to twist your brain to think that partying and drinking and messing around is what true pleasure is really like. And he wants to get you distracted. And guess what? I was a part of that statistic. I was one of the six that walked away from God for over 2+ years. And it breaks my heart to think that this size room right now, there's every 6 of 10 of you guys will walk away from God. Well, I don't believe that that's going to happen anymore because we're changing things. I believe we're going to go from 60% to 10% in this ministry because people just want to do their own thing. But 60% are going to walk away from God. And I want to give you guys 4 points on why I think people walk away from God after they graduate. The first one is this. Majority of you guys do not have a faith of your own. And moving forward, we're going to help you to understand why you believe in what you believe so that you could have a faith of your own. We want to set you up spiritually. And how are we going to do that? There has been a team of us that have been working really hard. And we have a list of 120 leaders in the church that we're tapping on their shoulder and we're saying, hey, we need you. We need you to be a part of this ministry. We need you to be small group leaders. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to help you make a faith of your own and understand why you believe in what you believe? Moving forward in August, and I'll get into more detail at the end of my message because I don't want to get a spoiler alert. But in August, every single one of our small group leaders is going to do life with you for 1 year. After our service, they're going to sit down with you guys for 1 hour. They're going to talk about the message. They're going to talk about what's going on. And here's why this is so important, because this is the way Jesus did ministry. And I want to show you this in Mark chapter 4. It says this, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything else is a parable, so that they may be indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. See, Jesus was talking to the multitude at the time. And his disciples, the people that were hungry, they came to him and they're saying, I don't understand this parable. Like, what are you talking about four seeds and only one of the four are good? But he sat them down and he started to have dialogue with them. See, he had monologue that was followed by dialogue. See, messages are a catalyst, but man, change really happens in the form of dialogue. When you can sit down and say, you know what? I listened to that message Zach was talking about how sex was really a good thing and it was blessed by God, but my parents and people around me were telling me sex bad. What do you think about that? And you'll be able to ask those kind of questions. You'll be able to ask questions like, you know what, I really don't understand what it means to be saved. I really don't understand how to reach people that nobody else is reaching and to tell my friends about the love of God. We're going to be so intentional. We're going to be spending 6 weeks talking about our messages in small groups. The next 6 weeks, man, we're going to be doing a book curriculum with you guys. The next week, we're going to have a big party and have fun and eat and play volleyball outside. But man, we want to see you guys succeed spiritually. And the second thing is this. We need to have a faith of our own, but the second thing is we need to have a faith to act. We need to have a faith to act. And practically speaking, what does that look like? Like I was talking earlier about Mitch going on to his campus. Man, we're going to be launching high school experiences everywhere. I believe in God that we're going to have 6 high school experiences this upcoming fall. And right now, we only got one. We're in the talks with some other people. I don't know how it's going to be done. Actually, I do know how it's going to be done. Because I'm going to come talk to you guys. And some of you guys, your heart right now, it's racing because you know that's what God's calling you to do. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus never convinced people. He never convinced people to come to him. He to his disciples, he said, yeah, come follow me. But guess what he did before that? He went to them. He went on their turf. I think a lot of times churches are always saying, come, 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 come. But the truth of the gospel and the greatest commandment of all times is what? To go and make disciples of all nation. Not come and make disciples of all nation, but go. To go make disciples, to go show people about the love of God. So at the end of this message, if that's on your heart, you're saying, you know what? I want to reach Laurel. I want to reach Moon. I want to reach Seneca Valley. I want to reach Knock. I want to reach Butler. I want to reach New Brighton. I want to reach Pine Richland. I want to reach homeschoolers. Sorry. It's an inside joke, people. I'm always messing with the homeschool people. But that's the thing. Jesus always went to them. We need the faith to move. We need the faith to act. As Christ followers, God is calling us to live an uncomfortable life. And it says this in Mark chapter 2. This is just a prime example about Jesus going onto the turf and how the religious people basically put him on blast. And it says this, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law who were the Pharisees saw him eating with sinners, I can't believe this dude's eating with sinners. The Savior of the universe is eating with sinners and tax collectors. And they said to his disciples, why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because he knew the importance of going. He knew the importance of faith in action. The third thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to have faith. You guys are going to have faith to lead. God is not calling you to lead tomorrow. God is calling you to lead today. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be tapping on your shoulder through our small groups to lead in every capacity here at Victory Family Church. I'm not talking about Thrive. Like ministry is much bigger than Thrive. It's about reaching the little middle school students who still make those sexual jokes, that still think it's cool, blowing their nose all over their shirt and picking their boogers. I was just over there. It's ridiculous what they do over there. Fifth graders, man. Fifth graders. But some of you guys are going to be called to serve in Echo and to raise up a generation underneath you. Some of you guys are going to be called to be on the production team in Maine, to be on the worship team, to be on the connection team, to be working in children's. But it's our job as this next generation to say, you know what, I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to lead now. I'm not going to have this idea that I need to have everything in order to be used by God. I'm going to say, God, you're going to use me because that's who you are. So moving forward, man, we're going to have, number one, we're going to have a faith of our own. Number two, we're going to have the faith to act. Number three, we're going to have a faith to lead. And then lastly, we're going to have a faith to embrace change. We're going to have a faith to embrace change. About a couple months ago, we went over to Maine. We didn't have Thrive. We went over to Maine, and our production team, I mean everybody, our ushers, connection team, production team, our worship team, we went over there and we led our parents in worship. It was the most powerful experience that I've ever had, seeing you guys up front on the left section just worshiping, raising your hands, and just looking out over you guys and seeing your parents, just, you know, I'm so proud of my son, and seeing them get into it after they saw you take that first step. But after Saturday night, Pastor John gave me a call, and sometimes you never know with Pastor John. Papa John, he can be everywhere sometimes. But Pastor John, he gave me a call, and he said, hey, Zach. And I'm thinking, oh boy, he's going to tell me I need to change this, I need to change that, I need to talk to... He said, Zach, after 25 years of ministry, I've never been a part of a more powerful service in my life. And that's just a testament to you guys, that he believes in you, that you guys are leaders of today. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is, man, we have to have the faith to embrace change. And this is the big one, guys. Moving forward in August, we're no longer going to be meeting on a Saturday night. We're changing everything up. We're going to be meeting on a Wednesday night for 2 hours from 7 to 9 o'clock. The first hour is going to look like this. We're going to have worship. We're going to have a 25-minute message. The second hour, we're going to be breaking into small groups where we have over 40 leaders that are going to do life with you for a whole year. They're going to sit with you. They're going to have conversations with you. They're going to be praying for you. And I know that's a big change, but here's the thing. When I go back to the why, 60% of people are walking away from God. You know why? Because they don't have a faith of their own. And the second thing is they're not serving in a larger capacity. So we have a new model here that I want to show you guys. And that's the thing, guys. We have to have the faith to embrace change. You have to trust me on this. I don't care. I really don't care if we have 500 people in this room. Hear my heart. What I care about is that we have 500 people in this room that are on fire for Jesus, that are disciples, that are going and making a difference, that we're setting you guys up to succeed spiritually. So this new model that we have, it's going to look a lot like this. We're going to have high school campus experiences. We're going to be reaching thousands of students. We have the potential to reach thousands of students every single week through you guys leading on your high school. And if that's something you are feeling God's calling you to do, even if it's a Christian school, come talk to me because, man, we want to reach your schools for the love of God. So we're going to be casting nets out. We're going to be saying, you know what? You're the leaders of today. You're going to lead your generation to have a relationship with Jesus. After that, man, we're going to be pushing those guys to take their next steps and come to a Wednesday night service. When they get here on a Wednesday night service, man, we're going to have an awesome culture where people belong before they believe. And once they get here, we're going to place them in a small group. 10 to 15 of you guys will be in one small group with two leaders. And they're going to commit a year to you. And then after that, man, here's where it matters. That you guys are serving a vision bigger than yourselves. That you're saying, you know what, I want to serve a God-sized vision. Pastor John's always, you guys aren't in Maine, but if you ever go in Maine, Pastor John's always talking about you guys. That we're handing this thing off to the next generation, but the next generation isn't even over there yet. So that's why we're making the changes, because 60% of you guys will walk away from God. And I can't live with myself knowing that statistic is so true, even in this ministry. So we're going to do everything short of sin to make people know the love of God, to help people understand what it means to be a disciple. So here, what I want to do this real quick. I want to pray for you guys, and then my wife's going to come up, and we're going to take about 10 minutes of question and answering. If you guys don't have any questions, that's fine. But we're also going to be doing a Facebook Live event on Wednesday, an Instagram Live event on Wednesday from 8 to 9, where you can get some more details. But with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we never want to leave this place without you knowing a living King. A Savior that loves you and cares for you. It was the best decision that I could ever make. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you tonight, you're saying, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. I see that hand. I see that hand. Let's pray this out together as a family, as a community. Everybody repeat this after me. Say, Dear Father God, I know that I'm a sinner. But I know that I need your grace. Here and now, I repent and I turn towards you. May you be the Lord and Savior of my life. My life will never be the same because you came in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give it up for those people. And that's part of our vision, to see 300 of you guys make that commitment to make Jesus the Lord of your life. So right now, does anybody have a question about the new model? Anything I could bring clarity to, me and my wife can bring clarity to. Anybody have a question? Man, Mitch. So basically, he asked if we bring someone through halfway through the year, what group would they be in? So what we're going to do, if you bring a friend, the best thing to do is to stick him or her into your group. So even if they're a freshman, you know, we want to be able to pair them up where they're comfortable, where they can feel connected. And they belong. Anybody else? Nobody. Nick Schwinnier, pop me with a question, bro.
I just have to say something, that you knocked on homeschoolers and I was homeschooled.
Yeah.
So I'm on your team, guys. I love it.
It's an inside joke. Oh,
okay.
Nick, come on, man. I know you were it.
What ministry the people will serve in on Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, so basically what we're going to be doing is with our small group leaders, we're asking them to help you take your next step. So 10 to 15 of you guys, you're going to be coming here on a Wednesday night, but you're also going to be taking your next steps on the weekend. So you're going to be going through the Our Church experience together. And it's through that Our Church experience is where you kind of really feel what a good fit would be for you and for maybe for your team to serve together. Anybody else? How are we dividing into small groups? You want to answer that? You know?
She don't know.
She's up here for some moral support. You want to sit down? I miss this girl. It's been like a month since I've seen her. Like, I was in Atlanta. She was out in California. She was up at 7. Man.
You're looking good.
You look good, too. Does it look like I lost a lot of weight?
Yeah, you look good, baby.
Am I looking chiseled? Yeah. Sorry. But how we're going to kind of divide is we're going to look specifically gender in school, because here's the thing, when you know people that are in your school that you're doing life with here, it's so much easier to travel together and to be a little bit more bold about your faith. So it's going to be more gender and school specific, and if you're from a school that only has two people, like we'll put you in a place that is a good fit for you. Jake.
Yeah, that's loud. Do you think that people who don't really know God or have never experienced it, do you think like going on a Wednesday for 2 hours like will be a little intimidating for the first time? Or like how are you going to implement covering for them?
So basically like our idea behind that is it's not going to be a 2 hour long service. It's actually going to be a half hour. And ideally we want to go during your lunch period and we'll feed everybody pizza. But I talked to a couple successful ministries out in California, which is very liberal. And these guys are actually killing it. They're on 13 high school campuses, and it's student-led, and they spend a half hour together during lunch, and they hang out for 7 minutes, they eat pizza for another 7 minutes, and then there's a short message and some announcements about what's coming up at their youth group. So it's going to be a half-hour window, ideally, but depending on your school. Robert. Yeah. Yeah, so basically, it is not starting for another 4 months. It's going to be starting August 1st after Jack Camp. How many of you know when you go to Jack Camp, you're just like on fire for Jesus?
Yes.
And we want to keep that fire going.
Yep.
So that's how we kind of made that decision after camp. It's a really good time to give you guys kind of like a month to get back, but then to swing into things. August 1st, that's when it's going to be happening. My dude right here. What type of pizza? You know you always have somebody that's going to... What kind of pizza? Gluten-free?
Probably, I don't know. Good pizza.
The good pizza.
Anything's better than school lunch, right?
Yeah, trust me. Anybody else?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so basically what we're going to do is we're going to start with what lunch period you prefer and which lunch period you're at, and hopefully that we continue to grow that and word spreads like, man, like they're killing it. Then we can go to a second lunch and then a third lunch, but we specifically want to target the leader and what lunch they're in and then focus on reaching out. And here's a little insider information. Don't tell anybody yet, but we're actually going to be probably changing the name of Thrive as well. We're going to be changing to something new. We're going to be rebranding. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have merchandise. We're going to have hats. We're going to have a lot of awesome things that is really going to, it's going to be a significant thing where it's going to be kind of talking about where we're going as a ministry and what we want to produce here at Thrive, but it's going to be a different name, and it's going to be awesome. And I have a meeting after this with Mariah, who actually kills it with doing merchandise and designing. So we're meeting after to kind of go over the new name, and it's going to be awesome. You're going to love to wear the t-shirts at school. So, anybody else? Ellie, why don't you go ahead and pray us out, and you guys are dismissed after she prays.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much just for your grace on this change. I thank you that we would see multiplication happen, and we would see a whole generation just on fire for you with the purpose that you put inside of their hearts. Lord, I thank you for every student that's in this place right now, that you would just bless them, give them fresh wind in their sails, Lord, as they go back into school, and that just we would change a region, God, and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you, guys.